I Inukhatikai, I'm Madeline Alakarellak, your host for Words and Culture on our Inuktitut language. I am so sad to say that this is our last episode because it has been an absolute treat to be able to talk to amazing Inuit who are working hard in their own ways to keep our Inuit culture and language alive. I have also had the honor to listen to beautiful indigenous languages in these series because as a people, we were colonized for so very long. But still, we have these amazing traditions that have continued because of the people, like all of our guests. So though it's my last episode, I'm so happy that you were able to hear our Ohaussit. The voice of Beatrice Deer. She's an Inuk Mohawk singer-songwriter who grew up in Kwaktaq Nunavik. Beatrice is also a seamstress, a podcast host, a mother. She's Jane of all trades, that one. Beatrice uses sobriety and healthy living as her means of leading by example. You could see her TikTok videos. They show us how she exercises every day. But it's through music that she and I met. That's years ago now. Fast forward, the day Beatrice came to visit my house in Montreal recently was a very busy day. It's really not uncommon for Inuit to just show up at your door. It was a very special visit this time in my house. Her panik, or her daughter, Aksangnak, also joined us. Aksangnak is a young traditional contemporary Inuk tattoo artist who is traveling all over Inuit Nunangat and blessing all kinds of us Inuit women with these markings. It's a revitalization of a part of our Inuit culture that was almost completely lost. So, coming up on Words and Culture later on, Aksangnak Deer will be adding to my traditional chin tattoos. But first, here I ask Beatrice, her mom, Anananga, what she thought about her daughter's pursuit.
Yeah, I'm so proud of my daughter, Aksangnak. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it took me by surprise mm-hmm. at how strong she came to becoming this artist. Mm-hmm.
Describe what she's done to your face.
She has made me a chin line and cheek dots. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yes.
For our listeners that don't understand what these markings mean, what do they mean for you?
For me, it means taking back our identity. These traditional tattoo practices were stolen from us. When the missionaries started coming to our lands, they forbid anyone from practicing this ancient tradition. They abused their power. They told everyone that you will go to hell if you have tattoos. And, of course, Inuit being obedient and naive, fearfully obeyed this false doctrine. Mm-hmm. So for 100 years, Inuit stopped tattooing. I've never seen anyone with facial tattoos. I've seen many women with dots on their wrists that were an attempt at traditional tattooing.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So,
because they too had heard about it, but not
yes.
witnessed any Inuit women with them?
Yes, yes. I think they have, like, Our older elders have seen one or two elders when they were very young, and the elders were very old, and they weren't very exposed to that, mm-hmm. and it was taboo to talk mm-hmm. about
interesting, eh?
Tattoos. So for me, it means taking that back, taking back our identity and our womanhood, our place in our Inuit society. These were signs of beauty and strength and skill. So taking that pride back, mm-hmm. That's what it means to me. And for to have my daughter to bring this tradition back, mm-hmm. In Nunavik specifically, mm-hmm. because there aren't many Nunavik tattoo, not just Nunavik, in the Inuit region, there aren't that many hand poke traditional contemporary tattoo artists today.
Mm-hmm. I get people look at me and I forget why people are staring at me and then realize, oh, I have chin tattoos. Yeah. What response do you get?
Most of the time it's positive.
Okay.
Sometimes, mostly online is where I get negative comments.
Really?
They don't come out and give me negative feedback face to face, but they're very brave online to say negative comments. But I mostly get positive. A lot of questions for sure, especially from non-Inuit and non-Indigenous people. Mm-hmm. Some are like very curious and they want a deeper answer or a more elaborate answer. And sometimes when I don't feel like it, I just say it just means that I'm an Inuk woman. Or when I feel like it, I'll elaborate more. Like for my chin tattoo, for example, I'll explain that girls got this chin line when they got their first menstruation. And this practice was taken away when colonizers came. I obviously didn't get it when I first got my period because we didn't practice this until the resurgence that we're living now.
Mm-hmm. How do you hold that responsibility in that revitalization of our Inuit culture? Where does that come from for you?
I just live it. I do what I personally want to mm-hmm. do. I don't do it for anyone externally. I find it beautiful. I find it, I just love the aesthetic of it and the meaning behind it.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at the world globally, we are of a tiny fraction in the world population as Inuit.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to have our own identity, our own markings, our own songs and language and clothing, all these things make us who we are as a people. And to show that, represent that, gives me a sense of pride.
It's so beautiful.
Mm.
I feel that when we're walking and we don't even know the person, but we see their markings,
mm-hmm.
immediately feel a connection. Do you
yes,
like that
yeah,
sometimes?
Yeah. And the more, like, more and more we're seeing women, Inuit women with tattoos,
mm-hmm.
when it was unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that the older generation really struggles with that.
Yeah.
They really struggle with it. Like, it really bothers them.
Mm-hmm.
Some get really mad.
Lateral violence.
Lateral violence is so real in our people, in our communities, which is really too bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's really too bad because the other day I got a comment on my Facebook saying, what skills do you have? What Inuit knowledge do you have to have these tattoos? And for many years, I didn't respond. I let all these negative comments slide, tried to anyways. And throughout the years, it just accumulates. Like, being a public
figure
that I am, trying to be, try to keep class and composure and have a respectable image and being careful with what I say, which I've been doing all these years, but it's been too long that I just didn't respond. So now I'm starting to respond, and I try to do it carefully because I'm human.
Mm-hmm.
I'm human. These negative comments do get to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know these people.
Mm-hmm.
And these people don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
And constantly trying to let it roll off like it's water on a rain jacket is tiring for
yes.
me.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone who doesn't know me comments things like that, mm-hmm. like, what knowledge do you have? What basically saying, what right do you have to own these tattoos? First of all,
mm-hmm.
I'm Inuk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to justify to you
mm-hmm.
to have these markings. That alone makes me eligible.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect to have these tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
Second, I just said, I know a lot. I didn't comment like, I'm Inuk, like in that particular comment, I replied, I know a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sarcastically.
Yeah, that's
I know a lot. Like,
you do too. I mean, like you mentioned off the top, you do everything.
It's so sad that our people have been colonized so much that they have taken on the colonizer's voice, because that's the record that they hear in their head. They've been brainwashed so much. How Inuk are you?
Mm-hmm.
How much do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Did you earn these markings?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to stop that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's beautiful to see Inuit and Mentu
mm-hmm.
getting traditional markings.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're Inuk. That's all you need.
True story.
Mm-hmm.
So, having that in mind, how do you see us moving forward as Inuit into reclaiming so many things in our cultures? Obviously, we cannot reclaim everything that we lost as Inuit.
Yeah.
But this is definitely something that we've reclaimed.
Yeah.
Moving forward, how do you see the next generation?
We are so fortunate that we have knowledge keepers that are passionate about teaching. And we have to respect these teachers, record everything. Anthropologists, thankfully, recorded so much. That's how we know a lot about our culture, because of non-Inuit anthropologists who came to our lands and they recorded everything. They recorded as much as they could. And Inuit being an oral history keepers, they didn't have recording devices, they didn't have written material. They passed down knowledge through oral history, and that was key, and that is still key. In today's world, we have to try and record everything, preserve everything. We have to keep practicing our traditional knowledge, even if we're not certain on how to do certain things. Like, for example, I need to learn to master how to make kamik, sealskin boots, the traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it with a teacher a couple of times, and I'm insecure about it. But if I want to master it, I have to keep doing it. So whatever traditional knowledge that we know a little bit, we have to try and learn more and master it so that we can teach it to our younger ones, so we don't lose it in any of it. Yes, we have lost many things. But we still have a lot, and our elders are passing away, like one by one, just treasure troves of knowledge that they're taking with them mm-hmm. to their graves. Mm-hmm. So we have to spend time with our elders, mm-hmm. learn from them, mm-hmm. not just about traditional knowledge, but about life in general.
And making friends with them. Yeah. They get lonely.
They get
And they
very
just
lonely.
Wait for us to ask questions.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then, like, we wouldn't have any regrets mm-hmm. if we spent time with them. Mm-hmm. And, it, like, they just want company, too.
Yeah.
It's not, it's, like, it doesn't need to be all day, mm-hmm. like,
Nakitu elders.
Nakitu elders, Montreal me.
We're looking for grannies in Montreal. If anybody knows of any, we want to visit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I Ino Katikai. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Words and Culture. I can't believe it's my last episode, but it's a very special episode because we are talking about Kakinit and Tunnit. These are traditional Inuit tattoos. Once upon a time in Inuit culture, it was said that a woman's face was compared to a liver if her face did not have any tattoos on it. That's how common they were until we were forcefully told that it was evil to do so. So what once was used to beautify a woman's face and body is now being revitalized in our communities as a way to promote pride in our culture. In my interview with singer-songwriter Beatrice Deer, she explains how she even has the thigh tattoos. These are so that when your baby is being born, they are the first beautiful things that they see as they enter the world from the womb. So you see what I mean about how special these markings are? However, revitalization for us Inuit today means that the tattoos have both traditional but perhaps more personal meanings, because each region of Inuit Nunangat and Inuit Nunangat, Inuit country, Inuit lands, is very big. They had different meanings for their kakinit. Here, Beatrice explained that the talotik, or the line tattoo on her chin, marked a young woman's first menstrual experience. For me, however, the line is to mark the child I lost in January. My beautiful daughter Madeline passed away suddenly, and this is how I honored her beautiful life. Aksanik Deer is Beatrice's daughter. We are in the living room at my historic house in Quebec. The irony could not be more explosive because the house is facing Lake St. Louis, and it's just so beautiful. There is a lot going on in my house. Bannock is being made in the kitchen, and a very cute and curious little 8-year-old with cerebral palsy is racing around asking all kinds of questions as I lay on my green couch, my feet hanging on the back of the couch, and Arsenic is wearing her headlamp on her forehead with my head on her lap, and her ink and her handmade tools for traditional tattooing are right beside her. You know what, though? It really feels like home here today, considering how far I am from home and considering all of the chatter. It feels at peace in my home today. Thank you for being here with me. As Arsenik tells me, she had wanted to help me remember my daughter by giving me my markings in honor of her life lived. My baby was just a couple of years older than Arsenik. What made you want to become a traditional hand poker tattooist?
I didn't know I wanted to be one. It was unexpected. Huvak Johnston came to Montreal to do tattoos for Nunavik Sivunitsavut students. Mm-hmm. And my mom and I got an appointment with her outside of the school. So I got my temples done, my first face tattoos done by her 4 days after my 20th birthday. She was going to tattoo my mom's thighs mm-hmm. the next day with Evie recording, mm-hmm. like filming it.
Okay.
Evie Mark.
Yeah.
Huvak asked if I wanted to come and watch. So I went to my mom's. It was kind of already late at night, and they already started her thighs. I think they were done with one thigh by the time I got there. And then when she was starting the other thigh, I watched her like prepare for it. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting beside her. My mom was on the table. Evie was filming. And Hovak asked if I wanted to try. So immediately I wanted to and was excited and nervous at the same time.
Did you poke your own mother?
Yeah, she
Your first
was,
time?
My first time.
Wow. Did it hurt, Mom?
Yeah.
So, sorry. Keep going.
Hova told me to poke harder because I wasn't poking hard enough, okay. I think. So I did one line on her thigh.
On your mom's thigh?
Very first one.
Wow.
And then Hova continued the rest and finished that side. Mm-hmm. It was probably like midnight or almost midnight when she was done. So she cleaned up and then Hovak said, I'll show you how I set up so you know how I do this, like how I set up and prepare. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay. So I watched her and she showed me how. And she showed me how to make the needle for the tattoo. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, like, why are you wasting a needle? You're not tattooing anymore. And then she said, you're going to tattoo me. So I got really nervous.
I just got goosebumps. Wow.
I was so nervous.
Hi, Daddy.
I didn't expect it. So I did one line on her wrist, because she has a few lines on her wrist where her students or those people she taught had a tattoo, each did a line on her. So I did one on her. And after we were done, we cleaned up and she told me to get like a container for all of her stuff to put in. And after I helped her clean up, gave her the container and she said, that's your starter kit. Wow. So I got to keep like the rest of her supplies because she had to go back to Nova Scotia. She was living there at the time. Mm-hmm. She left the next day and I started practicing on my best friends. They let me practice on them, but they were really nice. Like, they don't look like first
beginner.
Yeah.
Because your mom did say that you are already an artist.
Yeah.
So this came naturally to you?
Sort of, yeah. But I had to learn a lot more than I did that night.
And so fast forward, how many traditional tattoos have you done, you think?
Maybe.
Or did you lose track?
I lost track, but I'm guessing maybe 200.
Already?
In almost 5 years. Wow. It's going to be 5 years in November.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And you do know that this is a huge part of our revitalization, of our a part of our culture that was lost.
I learned that when I was studying at Nunavik Sivunitsavut.
Yeah.
I didn't know that before. Evie was my teacher at the time, and she taught us like everything, what our people went through, about the markings and colonization. That's when I was 19. And before that, I didn't really know anything about our culture or traditions, and I was very unaware. And I didn't like my culture. I didn't like being Inuk before I learned that colonization and what our people went through, what our grandparents went through. Mm-hmm. Before that, I didn't want to be Inuk.
Really?
Until I learned, and I learned about the markings. Because before I knew, I was very like ignorant and unaware. I would say things like, I would never get a tattoo on the face. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't look good. But only when I learned, I started to find our culture and traditions and markings so beautiful. And I wanted it to be part of my life.
Who did your facial tattoos?
After I got my temples done, Zor Gahauna from Iglalik, she did the two lines here on my chin. Mm-hmm. And after I added the dots on my chin, that was like a couple years later when I was brave enough to add the dots on my chin on myself with a mirror. And then I did my forehead.
By yourself?
With a mirror, yeah.
Wow.
And then I did like my temples mm-hmm. above Hovak's, like above the ones Hovak did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so now that you've tattooed so many Inuit women, almost over probably 200 in the last 5 years, how does it make you feel now when you walk around and see all the markings you have provided? Women who would have not otherwise, because you're traveling all over the mm-hmm. north, eh?
Yeah, it feels unreal. Mm-hmm. I still can't believe it sometimes, and I have the same feeling that I have every time after I finish a tattoo. I feel so much pride and joy and love for that person, because with this work, it's pretty often that so many of our women go through heavy things and they feel comfortable to share with me, and it's always healing for her. And I just feel so much love every time, and it really, sometimes I get so emotional out of love and joy.
Oh my God, for one thing, I've never done an interview upside down like this, laying on my head. but you have your headlamp on, and you've just given me my lines on my chin, right in the middle of the dots that Hovak blessed me with, my very first chin tattoos. I want to say thank you, Nakomipagit, Inwe Pekosivini to Halunganing. And the reveal begins. Takatutimik. Takatutimik. Wow. To see my new chin tattoo. Wow. It looks complete now. It looks complete. I love it. Nakukmi. All right. Well, to our listeners, I really look beautiful now. Nakumi, yay.
Well, thank you all for coming along this journey with me. Like I said at the beginning, there was a time when we were not allowed to have our traditional tattoos, and we almost lost this part of our very beautiful culture. Today, I could not imagine I would be able to share this experience with you on the radio, but I did. And I thank you for joining me. As our time on Words and Culture draws to a close, I want to share a final word with you. The word is Nakormik. 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 Thank you to all of our guests. Nakormik to all of you who are making a difference in our communities as we come back to fill the seats we have long belonged in. Madeline Alakirella Wunga Inu Hatikai Inu Hatikitia Hatata Uhausivut Pikosivulu Anneriluit Pigunavili Martini Atsunai.
Words and Culture is made possible with funding from SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Words and Culture is produced by Kim Wheeler. Kaylin Belair is our audio engineer and editor.
Onigiwahi Gigawabamin. Soko seni denit e minen yuji hina.
Eko se.
Kako utau. We'll see you.
Speak up. You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby.
We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.